Well, good morning. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the New King James Version says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We gather here today by faith. Did you know that? We're coming here believing what we know from the Word. We're coming here believing what we've felt in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And so by faith right now, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to give Him all of our hearts in worship. We're going to surrender and yield our thoughts to Him. Let them be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All of the distractions of life, all of the situations that can overwhelm us and keep us tied up and twisted in knots, we're going to let those go by the wayside, and we're going to set our attention and our focus and our hearts on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who authored this faith that we're coming to Him with. So, Lord, right now we just surrender to You, Lord, our lives. We surrender to You our hearts. We surrender to You, Lord, our time, Lord, this time today, Lord, that we have to worship You, to honor You, to praise You, to hear Your word. Lord, we give You this time. We commit it into Your hands. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to You by faith, Lord, that You would do exceedingly and abundantly all that we're asking or thinking or praying right now, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are the all in all, Lord. You are the King of kings. You are our God, and we are Your people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that there would just be an infilling, Lord, of Your fresh love in us, Lord, an infilling, Lord, of Your power and Your might, Lord, working in our lives, helping us with all the situations we deal with. Lord, help us to be who You've called us to be, even today, Lord, during this service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Say, forever, author of salvation. None. you in body, fullness of God, wrapped in mercy, you showed us your heart, your love upon the cross, your love poured out for all, and there is no one like the Lord our God, and you've been set a table, you invite us to come, your body broken, your blood was numb, this love upon the cross, this love poured out. it all. Everyone will know you're like no other, and there is no one like the Lord our God. And you've been faithful every day of my life, and I could search the world and no one like the Lord our God. And you've been faithful every day of my life, and I could search the world and never find another like you, no other like you, Jesus.
Set us free. Ooh. As we're standing here in an atmosphere of praise and worship, my heart keeps telling me the reasons why we praise. We praise in surrender. We praise in thanksgiving. We praise in gratitude. We praise when our heart doesn't feel it, but we know we're supposed to praise. And as we praise in faith, He fills us with what we need to know that we can walk in faith. Our praise is not to get something. Our praise is to give Him all the glory and all the thankfulness and all of our surrender. So when we sing the words and we know that we're praising our Lord and we just love Him and we show that with our praise, and the reward is that He pours out on us as we lift our hands, open hands in surrender and praise to Him. Because that's all He wants, is for you to recognize and praise Him for all that He has done for you and for every situation that you've ever been in, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise. And He has been there in it when you were His child, as His child, and when you were not. He has always been there to provide and called us. So we praise Him for all of that. And we give Him all of us.
Every day of my life. Sometimes I feel faithless towards God. I don't know if you ever deal with that. The distractions of life, the cares of this world, sometimes seem to just make it so that I can't quite see the way I should see. So good to remind myself, even when I'm faithless, He's faithful. Even when I don't have the faith to fully believe that He's working in my life, He's working in my life, in your life. that one song says, even when I don't see that he's working, he never stops working. Yes, Lord, you've been faithful every day of our lives. And there's never going to be another one like you in our life, Lord. Never will be, never has been. Even before we knew you, Lord, there was no one else like you in our lives. You were the one that brought us to you, Lord. You're the one that had us, Lord, in your hand. You're the one that gave us our heartbeat. There's never been another one like you, Lord. Help remind us that, Lord, when we're knee-deep, Lord, and neck-deep in, Lord, and junk, that you're faithful. You're always faithful. You're always loving. You're always thinking about us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that one more time. On each other. Bless the Lord. Amen. Thank you, team.
All right. Would you guys stand with me? We are going to do our declarations over the house. All right. Let's say this together. On the count of three, one, two, three, we declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Yes, God, we continue praying, Lord, for this house, Lord, for what you're doing at One Life Family Worship. God, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to rest on us and all that we do. Rest on not just our time of worship and the word, God, but our time with one another. God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are continuing to build this place and do what you want to do here. And just pray, Lord, that we would be obedient, Lord, to your call for this house. Pray, Lord, for every house represented here, that these houses would be houses of prayer, that these houses would be houses of your presence. And I just thank you so much, God, for how you continue to move in this place. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys can be seated. Do we have a next house of prayer set?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. So not really many announcements of any, but just thank you for giving to the house of God. You guys know how to do it. You can give online. You can give in the box here or in the box in the back. And yes, we continue believing God's going to continue to do good things for our church. Can I get the children up here and pray for the kids? All right. Some of you guys extend your hands to these little ones. God, we thank you so much for these kids. We pray, God, that you would bless them, Lord, in their time downstairs. God, we thank you, Lord, just for your blessing, Lord, over our children's ministry and over the hearts, Lord, of those who lead it. And pray, God, you would continue just to move mightily, Lord, in our kids, Lord. Allow them to continue to grow in you, Lord, as they learn about you. And we just thank you, Jesus, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Try to keep from knocking these things over. How's everyone do today? Good? Good. Well, we're going to continue the Power of Prayer series. Today's the Prayer of Faith. How many of you heard of the Prayer of Faith? You have? I think all prayer, hopefully, is surrounded with faith. But in a particular verse, and we'll look at it, it talks about what's called the prayer of faith. But I want to go ahead and lay some groundwork a little bit before it, and we're going to turn to Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. It says, New Living Translation, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent for their sins and to turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with oil. This is the only gospel verse that talks about anointing with oil. And I have three oils here. Remember you got those for us, Vicki, these oils, when we were over at the other church? Wasn't that you?
I'm not here.
Oh, I said you were the one that brought these oils to us at the other, when we were over at the other church. This one says that it's myrrh. So it must have a lot of power, right? Because gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This one says frankincense and myrrh. And this one says spikenard. So these are all definitely things that you've read about in the Bible. But we'll see that it's not the oil necessarily that has the power, but it's the faith in what God will do when we pray. Let's take a look here at James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Sorry. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I would add woman to that, man or woman, avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So this is the book of James, and James is at this point in his final chapter kind of really giving the church some of his final instructions that he wants to talk to them about. And he's talking about the great need for prayer and the need for prayer for the one that wants to pray and needs to pray if they're suffering. And then the need for prayer if someone wants to come up and receive prayer from the elders. That's a biblical thing. Let's drill down a little bit more, and we see that in 14 through 15, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, so here's that phrase, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I think it's really interesting that when you're coming up for prayer that and being anointed with the oil, that the forgiveness of sins is also released. That's quite significant when you think about it. We always think that we have to confess our sins, but I think the very fact that you're coming up in need, asking God for help, is a way to be cleansed from sins. And we'll look at a verse at the very end that kind of really encapsulates what's going on here when a person comes up. So we're to pray over him or her, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. So that really is the structure of the prayer of faith. It's someone who has need coming to someone that they have confidence in, knows the Lord, maybe is an elder, as it says here, or maybe it could be a pastor, could be someone that's been, you know, with walking with the Lord for many years. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have to have, quote unquote, the name elder, you know, attached to them. Could be somebody that they know that they have the confidence they can come into agreement with. Because that's really what it's about. It's really about someone that you trust that you can come into agreement with. So I believe the prayer of faith centers around agreement. That there's hearts that say, yes, we want to see this fulfilled. So I don't know how many of you have used our prayer chain, our prayer text, I should say. But we see a text come across, and we see usually the prayer. Because, I don't know, people are busy. I know sometimes they can't necessarily take time from their work or take time from what they're doing. But there's a prayer request that's in the form of a prayer. And then all you have to say is amen and come into agreement if you want to. You don't just even have to send a text. You can just see that prayer request and then see the need being prayed for, and you can say amen. And you're coming into agreement. You're adding yourself to that prayer of faith. Looking at just verse 15 itself, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So this is where we start to see that the prayer of faith isn't just necessary prayer. It's prayer that's attached to faith and with faith. It's a relationship between our prayers and our faith. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think without faith, it's impossible to receive answers to our prayers. Unless God's grace just wants to, you know, give it to us, which he can sometimes. So that's why at the beginning of the service I read that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we'll see a little bit later that really means that you have to believe in things that you don't see. You have to believe in things that do not make sense with your natural mind, that you can't wrap your head around, so to speak. You have to believe in the supernatural. You have to believe in something that is greater and more powerful than us. And that's ultimately what we do when we believe in God. But it says that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him or her up. And if he has or her has committed sins, that he will or they will be forgiven. So if you look at this verse in the Young's Literal Translation, and I know this is a nuance, but I think it helps anchor my heart when I can see maybe a different way that you could communicate this same phrase. And it says, and the prayer of the faith. So have you ever heard the expression that we're of the faith? That we are people that have an anchor in the faith. So I believe that this is talking about this prayer. When the person comes up, there's an anchoring in faith, in Christ, in God, that he's going to move in that person. That there's going to be something that is going to change in their situation. Whether it's a disease or whether it's, you know, I believe that you can have sicknesses that are even worse than even physical disease when they're sicknesses of the heart. where literally our minds don't think right. I think when our hearts are so upset, sometimes we can even cause in us physical problems. There's people that they've seen that have issues with their heart issues. You know, there's wounds, there's trauma, and that over time it literally creates physical ailments in their body. So the prayer of the faith shall save the distressed one, and the Lord shall raise him up or her up. And if sins he may have committed, they shall be forgiven of him or her. Now, the NIV really kind of says it in another way that I like, and it says, and the prayer offered in faith, I do too, will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, I could get into deep on this word prayer, because this word prayer in this spot is only used one time in the New Testament to mean prayer. The other two times it means vow. And so I think maybe Paul was trying to communicate that there's more to just this prayer. There's a commitment. There's a devotion. That's why I believe this word offered is so good in this place. That it's not just that we're just, you know, going through the motions. We're just laying hands on a person. Yeah, this is what the Bible says to do. We're just going to do it. But no, we're allowing this to be as an offering before God. God, you have asked us as leaders to lay hands on the sick. And so we're offering this time to you. We're dedicating this moment to you. And we're applying our faith in this moment to you and believe that this individual can be touched. Kind of puts a different view of the prayer of faith, doesn't it? And the CLV, which is a concordant literal version, it likes to be literal, says this, and the vow of faith will be saving the faltering, and the Lord will be rousing him up. And if he should have done sins, it will be forgiven him. So this individual who translated this even wanted to declare that this word really usually means vow. That doesn't mean that it's a total vow in this place, but I believe it. Paul was trying to communicate this. It's not just a normal prayer. This is a prayer that is consecrated. This is a prayer, if you think about it. Come up here for a second, Eric. If back in the day of Moses, if a man that was designated as going to be a priest was then anointed with oil, which we do in the prayer of faith, guess what? They're now consecrated and separated unto the Lord, where when they're in that state, they're not even to go out and do certain things because they're being consecrated to God. It's a devoted time. It's a consecrated time. Thank you, Eric. And that's what's going on with this vow of faith, this prayer of faith. It's holy. It's consecrated. It's devout. It's powerful. Maybe we should be doing this more often. Maybe we need to have the oils right there all ready to go. And when someone comes in here sick or have had surgery, that we take the time, if they're ready, and we anoint them with oil, believing through the prayer of faith that this action is something that God's going to honor. And the beauty of it is we're not putting faith in the oil. We're not putting faith in the anointing with oil, but we're putting faith in God, who said, when we do this, this will happen, that the one will be raised up. And even if they've had sins in their life, those are going to be forgiven. Now, was James just a radical and was saying something that was heresy? No, I don't think it'd be in the Bible. But it is a pretty radical statement, if you ask me. Yes. Well, a vow was something that covenant, of course, is something that is lifelong. These vows could be for a week. They could be, as with Samson, he made a vow that he wasn't going to cut his hair. That was supposed to be a lifelong covenant or a vow It's like a covenant. But most of the time a vow is, we're not even supposed to make vows. So this is different. This is a vow that we're giving to God. Like Paul, when he separated himself, and this is back in Acts, and this gets a little sidetracked, but he found four other men who had made vows to God, and they had not cut their hair at that time, and they went into the temple, and that's when Paul was arrested, and then he had to defend himself, and then he ended up going to Rome eventually. That was because of a vow that he had made. But that being aside, the idea of a vow is that you're saying to God, God, I'm going to do this for you. It's an offering. It's a gift you give them. Now, Samson was probably given this command by his mom. Listen, this is what you're supposed to do. You're going to be a Nazarite from birth forever. You're not going to cut your hair. And it didn't necessarily say that he was going to be the strongest man alive, but it said he was going to help be the deliverer of Israel. Does that help? Okay. Covenant is like a agreement that goes on forever. Yeah. Or supposed to be forever. For a long time. Let's put it that way. So this reminds me of this verse. Now this verse, some people say, could be taken out of context, but it's the idea of agreement. And so this is where you're supposed to go to a brother with one or two, and then if they don't listen, then, you know, it goes before the whole church, and it's basically this idea at the end of it of having agreement about this. But then Jesus says, and I also tell you this, and I think he's talking about a principle. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. So again, think if someone comes up for prayer. I mean, how many have prayed by yourself for your own need? It's good, right? And sometimes it's taken care of, but sometimes we need that agreement. We need that handshake in the spirit that, yes, I agree with you, brother. I agree with you, sister, that this will be done. So when they come up, this anointing with oil, it's part of agreeing with what we believe God can do in their life. It's a prayer of the faith. We're believing that our faith in God's going to do something right now. I saw there was a group over there praying for my mom just a little while ago. They're believing by faith that God's going to touch her. What's that? Do it again with oil. Amen. Okay. At the end, we'll probably take some time and do that because I have a feeling that's why I brought up three of these. I thought we might need a few. If we're people who believe the word, right? In the Amplified, it says it this way. Again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are in one mind in harmony, that's why there's this union that has to take place, that the person who's praying for them, the elder, hopefully believes the word, right? Believes that God's able to heal, and that it didn't die away with the apostles, that it's still alive and active today, even though we don't see it all the time. And about anything that they ask within the will of God, and that's added because of 1 John 5:14, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If we go to 1 John 5:14, this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we have as believers, and we are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. Now, some people say, is it always the will of God to heal people? I say yes. Why aren't people always healed all the time? I can't answer that question. But I believe God is our healer. He's declared it, right? By his stripes, we might be healed. We can be healed. We are healed. I didn't write that. I'm not the author of that. I'm just communicating that truth. Isaiah 53. By his stripes we are healed. And then, you know, you can say, well, that was just a one-off. No, well, then Peter in the New Testament goes and quotes that again. By his stripes we are healed. So if that's the case, if by his stripes we are healed, then would you say that that's the will of God to pray for someone to be healed? Yeah. And Let me add this. I believe that this process of agreement and laying our hands, you don't have to have both people in like faith ready to raise the dead. The power is in the agreement that we're putting our faith in God, that he's able to do this. That it's that my faith is helped and encouraged and lifted up when I'm in agreement with somebody else. An agreement can be signified with an amen. Amen? Amen. All right. So if it's the prayer of faith, what is faith then? How do we think of this faith? Well, as I read at the very beginning, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And that sounds easy enough, but I think an explanation might be necessary. In Hebrews, in the Amplified, I love the Amplified because sometimes you just can't get with English words the deep meaning of what a Greek or Hebrew word means. In this case, it's the Greek. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. So what it's saying is faith is something that you can latch on to. Faith is, like it says, a substance. It's tangible. Even though it doesn't necessarily feel tangible, but it is of the things that we hope for. So when a person comes up, they need healing, they need a touch from God, and we anoint them with oil, there's a hope in that. There's a hope that this process, they're going to receive something from God. They're not receiving it necessarily from us, and they're not receiving it necessarily from the oil, but that's like when we take communion, for instance. We take communion, that it's, you know, Jesus says, this is my body that was broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. It's not literally his body. You know, his body was resurrected. His body is like been transformed into something else totally. And it's not literally his blood. But as far as the power of those two items, when we take them, we're participating as if we were eating and drinking his blood, eating his flesh and drinking. I know it sounds crazy, but Jesus said in John 6, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. He's talking about communion. But the idea of this is there's power in this communion that we receive. It's not that we're just remembering his death. Yes, we are. But we're actually participating in what everything his death, burial, and resurrection bring for our lives. It makes us have a contact for our faith in what Jesus did for us. That's what this oil is. That's what the process of laying hands on someone is. It's not necessarily the hand that is the power, but it's the faith in being obedient to what God's asked us to do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. And then it really says it so clearly here. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith is believing in what we don't see. Just as Paul says, it's the things that we don't see that we need to look at, not the things that we see with our natural eyes. Because the things we see with our natural eyes are temporal. But the things that we see that we can't see, isn't that weird? It says to see the things we can't see. It's because we're seeing with our spirit. Is eternal. And eternal is always in God. Amen? All right. So I was thinking of this, and a story came from the New Testament that I think really shows this idea of the going through the process reveals faith. So if we look at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to see Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. This was a crazy story when you read it. They literally had to tear off the roof. You guys heard that expression? Let's tear off the roof. Well, they literally tore off the roof and then lowered this man through the hole to see Jesus. Then it says the powerful statement, when Jesus saw their faith, not the man's faith, saw the friend's faith and their agreement and their belief that if they got this paralyzed friend, obviously he must have been a friend or a loved one, somebody that they held dear, or they were tired of paying all the time for him when they went to some places because he didn't have any money. I'm just kidding. No, they loved this man, obviously, that they went through this effort. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's always like, you don't expect him to say that. Neither did the Pharisees. Some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So to me, this is a great illustration of an agreement of faith. These four individuals came into agreement. They said, "You know what? If we get our friend to Jesus, we get our brother to Jesus, Jesus can heal him." And they tore off the roof and they lowered him. I'm sure it was a lot of work. I mean, I don't think they came prepared to lower him. So somebody's running around looking for what, twine, rope? How are they doing this? Are they holding, you know, two friends by the legs, getting him low? I mean, you know, it must be quite the scene. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a radical expression of faith that Jesus said, "Okay, I see faith here. And I'm going to move for him." And he did. He forgave him of his sins. I think this is telling us that the most powerful thing God can do for us is forgive us of our sins, not heal our body. But because he loves us, and because he is who he is, he healed his body. So in James 5:15, in the Message, I love this. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven. And then I like this part, healed inside and out. Because God's concerned about everything about us, not just our outside, not just if we're physically well, but also how's our inside. So, with that said, is there any sick among us? Is it going to be everybody? Huh? Yeah. If you would like prayer this morning, we are going to anoint you with oil and believe that the Lord, through that action, will touch your body and will touch your heart and will touch your life. We're going to believe that the prayer of faith will raise you up and heal you, bring forgiveness of sins. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, oh, definitely.
So I just wanted to say this morning that this week we lost my dear sweet Uncle Joe, and he was the last sibling of my dad. And he loved Jesus so much, and he was so faithful to not only the Lord, but to his family and to his country. He was very, very, very proud to be, was he a Marine? Yes, he was a Marine. Just a few days before he passed away, my sister called to talk to my dear auntie, Carol, asking could she pray out loud. Could they turn on the speaker so that in his room everybody could hear the prayer? And she said yes, and so they did that. And just before they started praying, she said, "Can I pray in the spirit? Is that okay?" She asked my sister. My sister said, "Yeah." And sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes our words are not strong enough or clear enough or precise enough. But praying in the Holy Spirit, that you're praying the will of God.
Amen.
And so remember that as we're touching people this morning. Remember that if you don't know what to pray, just pray in the Spirit, because now it's all good. It's all good with God. Then He's got it, and He can do it for us, right? So I just wanted to say that.
Yes, and I would say, family, as we pray for these individuals, add your faith with our faith. That we're believing for them as a body, that the Lord's going to touch them. Amen. Amen. It's for you, right, Tara? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is it an unspoken request, or do you have something specific that we're going to pray for? Healing. Okay, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for touching your daughter right now, Lord. Thank you, God, that you've created Tara, Lord, and that she is your daughter. She is the one that you are focused on right at this moment, Lord. And we pray that you would touch her, Lord, with your healing hand in this area. God, we pray that you would just correct whatever's causing this pain. Lord, that you would allow her to just now receive your healing touch. As your word says, Lord, you'll raise her up, Lord. You'll set her on her feet, Lord. And Lord, you'll heal her inside and out. So Lord, we declare that over Tara right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for touching her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we do. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're doing above and beyond all we can ask or think right now, Lord. And anything that's causing this, Lord, let it be eradicated from her now in Jesus' name. That life and health flow from the throne of God to her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Who's next? And what are we praying for, hon? For everything? Are we praying for your knee or back? Knee, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, just touch Louise right now, Lord, with your healing hand. Lord, we believe, Lord, that you are her healer. We believe you're Jehovah Rapha in her life. We believe, Lord, that you are the one, Lord, that went and took the stripes for her, Lord, for her healing. So right now, in Jesus' mighty name, we agree with the healing hand of God working in Louise from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, touching her back, touching her knee, touching her organs, touching every tissue, every fiber, every ounce of her body. Let her be made whole. Let her receive, God, your healing hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Speak life and health over her body right now in Jesus' name. This just comes from old age in Jesus' name. His life is extended to all. He renews your youth like the eagles. Amen. We don't have to live by the world's report. Amen. Who's next? Gloria. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All over me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your life. Thank you, Lord, for this dear one, Lord, that knows you so well, has clung to the hem of your garment many times, Lord. Right now, we agree, Lord, with her coming to you, Lord, clinging once again to your garments. Touch her body. Touch her lungs, Lord. Touch her heart and blood pressure, God. Any other maladies in her body, any infirmities, Lord, let them come into alignment with the word of God that says, by your stripes she is healed. Let her receive, Lord, what you have for her today. Let her be able to leave this place, Lord, knowing that you touched her, God, because you are faithful. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let this time of consecration and our focusing on you, Lord, for her, Lord, bring results that sustain, Lord, that go on, that aren't just for a minute, Lord, but that they go on for the rest of her existence, God. Let her be touched in such a way that she astounds doctors, and even our own minds sometimes, Lord. Let the healing hand of God rest upon Gloria now in Jesus' name. Inside and out, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are you up here for prayer? Okay. You need to take your hat off for a second. I'm going to take your hat off for a second and put it right there. There we go. Yeah, no worries. We'll do it that way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, as we anoint mom with oil, Lord, you know all of the things in her body. You know the arthritis, Lord. You know the things she's dealing with in her feet, God. You know every organ, Lord, that needs your touch. Lord, you are her healer. She has declared it multiple times, Lord. Just release, God, your healing hand over her. We release, Lord, your power, your anointing, Lord, your glory over her in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, God, right now that every organ, every tissue, Lord, every cell of our body would come into alignment with the Word of God. We just pray that you would just rest on her now, Jesus, and bring your healing hand to your daughter. Thank you, Lord, for the life of God that's in her. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to her mortal body right now in Jesus' name. Every joint, Lord, every ligament, Lord, every tissue, every muscle, every bone, Lord, even in her marrow, Lord, let life flow in Jesus' name. Healing from the inside and out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he who started a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Life flow in her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Nikki. Oops. Got stuff all over my hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ears. Thank you, Lord. And her wife. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your hand touching your daughter right now. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer of faith you've given us, Lord. And by faith, God, we bring her before your throne of grace. We ask you to touch your daughter, Lord. Touch her from the top of her head, starting with her ears, Lord, all the way, Lord, through her pancreas, God, into, Lord, her blood system, God. We just declare that your perfect work's being done in her right now. Thank you, Lord, that you are her God and she is your child, Lord. She trusts in you, she hopes in you, and she rests in you, Lord. So, Lord, we agree with her right now in receiving her healing. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this body into alignment with your will, your plans, your purposes and desires for her. By your stripes, she is made whole. Inside and out, total healing. Total healing, inside and out, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't need to say anything else. Praise God.